You've heard of emancipation, but what about counter-emancipation? Well, that's the topic of the upcoming Wepner Symposium in Springfield. It will feature 3 days of presentations at both UIS and in the downtown. They are free and open to the public. Matthew Holden is the Wepner Distinguished Professor of Political Science at UIS, and he joins us today to talk more about the concept of counter-emancipation.
The idea is very basic, that the Emancipation Proclamation contained the essential core that the people freed would be, quote, forever free. In their actual status, they were not forever free, and that there was sustained effort to overcome the meaning of the Emancipation Proclamation, and that is why I call it counter-emancipation. What I'm also getting at is the acceptance of the idea that 3 amendments to the U.S. Constitution were put into effect, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th, and that the people who were opposed to the whole process basically were able to establish as a national norm that you could accept the words of the amendments, but that the practices would be to the contrary.
And that continued on for decades. I mean, and some would even argue maybe till today still.
Things went downhill from about 1865 over a series of years and in a series of conflicts went down until the end of the 1800s, to the end of the 19th century, and into the 20th century. Probably to its lowest at around the time of Woodrow Wilson. And so that the symposium we're putting on has an element of overcoming counter-emancipation, which begins to show itself just after World War I.
Well, a lot of people like to talk and point to the South, for example, Jim Crow laws and the violence in some cases that took place there as well. But this, you're talking about something that was really nationwide. This was in the North as well as the South.
Very much so. It became nationwide, and it became a nationwide struggle.
A lot of these people who went and fought in the Civil War and had family members that went and fought, and then they come back home, especially in the North, still weren't not that accepting of the idea of emancipation.
Well, they lost their lives in a struggle that involved emancipation. The war did not begin about that, but it became a vital part of it. And in all of the 35 years from the assassination of President Lincoln to the beginning of the 20th century, the struggle became more complex and tougher, North and South, Illinois as well as elsewhere.
We're talking with Matthew Holden, the Wepner Distinguished Professor of Political Science at UIS, and the Wepner Symposium is coming up. One of the main themes of the symposium will be counter-emancipation. That's what we're talking about here. You mentioned Lincoln's death. Was that sort of the point that started on this downward spiral? Do you think that the public would have still had trouble with this, whether Lincoln lived or not?
The country would have had trouble with it, whether Lincoln lived or not. The president himself was moving in a forward direction, but having himself to find out exactly what he intended beyond formal emancipation. And one of the big steps was that the president had begun to think of the idea, for example, that the formerly enslaved people, or some of the very intelligent, as he put it, would be given access to the franchise. According to at least some theories, was the specific motivation for the Booth assassination. But whether that's true or not, it is on the record that he certainly gave consideration to extending the franchise to what he called the very intelligent and those who have fought with us.
Let's talk about the symposium itself and some of the topics specifically that will be coming up there. I don't know if you want to run through a couple of them or just, go ahead and discuss those.
Yes, well, the symposium is intended to move us from then until now. It is for people who are terribly interested in history, but it is also people who are interested in the world as it is up to this terrible event at Emmanuel AME Church. So that the symposium has two or three papers around counter-emancipation itself. Then the symposium has papers dealing with change that took place in the country from the 1920s up to the 1960s. That gets us to what people call the civil rights era. And then we have in the last day and a half, some interesting papers that deal with all that has happened since, well, some of what's happened since the civil rights era. There's so much, but we're getting from then until now.
The term symposium, I know a lot of people may think that it's strictly for researchers or people in higher education.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But this is open to everybody, anybody that wants to come and learn more about it.
Furthermore, we know that not everybody wants to sit all the way through. So people are free to come and leave as they see fit. We hope they will.
And we'll have a list of all of the different events and where they're located and the times and all at our website at WUIS.org. I had read one historian recently saying that you can't understand American history without understanding race. It's fascinating to see how it has evolved, but yet how much ground still needs to be made up there.
Well, it's not merely how much ground seems to be made up, remains to be made up, but we have, Sean, as you know, this extraordinary event of a few days ago where a young man goes to Emmanuel AME Church in South Carolina and kills 9 people. And that reminds me of something that people will remember if they've seen all of the TV footage back in 1964.
Birmingham.
Of the Birmingham episode, yes. And people thought that they were beyond that.
Mm. I want to make sure I say this right. Counter-emancipation, as we're talking about it from Lincoln's time up till today, symposiums like this, they really do play a role in helping people understand better the current culture?
They play a role in helping people understand the current culture. And furthermore, Sean, it's very important that they are part of the common process of discussion in which you don't merely help people understand, you help people shape the common culture. If I could have my wishes, you can never have your wishes in this world. But if I could have my wishes, I would have a lot of public school teachers because they work with this material just as we do, but they work with it in a different way, and we need the exchange. If I had my druthers, I would have people involved in business and management because these issues come to them every day.
That's Matthew Holden. He's joined us to talk about the Wepner Symposium. That's Thursday through Saturday in Springfield. Find all the details at our website, WUIS.org.